beating heart, not to be confused with bless your heart. However, bless your heart, in case you don't know, I mean, I'm sure you've heard it around the campus quite a bit here of late, but bless your heart is an endearing term of incompetence. A bleeding heart is also another insult. It's used a lot of times in the political realm of things of, oh, they over-sympathize with those that are hurting or suffering or those that are having misfortune. Oh, my bleeding heart. I'll take that insult. Tell me I have a bleeding heart. Tell me that I hurt too much for those that are in misfortune. Our text this morning is going to be all about compassion. I'm going to tell you a story about compassion. So a lot of you got one of these when you came in today, a Hershey bar. The story starts out with two little guys, Dylan and Jonah. Jonah has a rare liver condition called GSD type 1B. It's like one in a million in kids. And it's when his, and I'm not really familiar with the medical terminology, so bear with me, but it's when his liver can't break down the enzymes, give the insulin that he needs. He has to have cornstarch and water given to him because it's a low breakdown. So he's, and if it drops, it can kill him. It's fatal. It is fatal in children. So his little friend, Dylan is the one on the right. Jonah is the little guy on the left. He's the one with the liver condition. They meet each other. They're 6 years old. Cody said, I kind of have a passion for six-year-olds. Go figure. So they're 6 years old. What do six-year-old boys, little boys like to do? They like to play rough and tumble and all this good stuff. So Dylan is wanting Jonah to go play on the merry-go-round. Jonah can't do that. Dylan wants Jonah to play tag at recess for a sleepover. Jonah can't do that. So mom is just like, okay, so she plans a play date. She gets to talking with Jonah's mom, and Jonah's mom's explaining this condition. Well, Dylan is just devastated. Why can't my friend do all this? I hate this. I get to have all this fun, and he can't. He can't because he's got to constantly be watched. Mom's got to constantly be there in case his insulin drops, because if it drops, it's fatal to Jonah. So they become buddies, and they kind of work around the whole condition. But Dylan still doesn't stop. He's hurting, and he has compassion for his friend who doesn't get to enjoy the great things that he's enjoying. So he's like, what can I do for my friend? A six-year-old, remember that, 6 years old. What can I do for my friend? So he's like, hey, when it's great things and you can't do it, let's say that's chocolate bar. Hey, I'd love to play football. Obviously, Jonah can't play football, but that is chocolate bar. Hey, I'd love to play tag, but you can't, but that is chocolate bar. I'd love to have a sleepover and have cake and ice cream and watch movies late at night, but you can't. That is chocolate bar. Getting an A on your midterm is chocolate bar. Oh, that gets to me. Yeah, okay, go figure, whatever. Chocolate bar. So he's like, okay, let me write a story about chocolate bar. He writes a story all about chocolate bar and all these great experiences. His mom's like, oh, okay, little kids, we'll publish it. We'll make it a shiny little glossy cover. She makes 20. They sell just like that. Okay, she makes 100. They sell. The teacher catches on about this, and she's like, let me take it to the school board. She takes it to the school board. The school board's like, all right, we're going to back this. We're going to give $100,000 to this book, and we're going to make copies. They sell. And he's selling. Here's where it comes in. Compassion is wanting to change where his little guy friend is, where Jonah's at. He sold, next slide, $1.4 million worth of books. A six-year-old had the courage to be compassionate to his friend, to write a simple book and raise $1.4 million for GSD research. A six-year-old had that kind of compassion. Six. Isn't that crazy? I love that story. They're older now. obviously, and I don't want to follow the story any more than that, but it brings us to our text today. Our first text is from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is comfortable, my burden is light. Charles Spurgeon pointed out that this in all four Gospels, all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of them, this is the only place that Jesus himself speaks of what his own heart is like. The only place in all four Gospels. The phrase, come to me, it's a command. It's an exclamation. It's, hey, I'm getting your attention. Come to me. Not tomorrow, not next week, now. Come to me. Because you filled your life full of chaos. So let's break it into today's terms, the chaos. Homework. Guys, girls, friends, movies, video games, whatever it is. Hey, come to me. It's an exclamation. It's trying to get your point across. It's like, hey, listen to me. It's like that, hey, wake up, bro, slap you across the face. It's like, listen up, I'm trying to get your attention. This includes all of the craziness that we do right now. And we think, that's okay, I can handle it. But the problem is we get too tied up in what we're doing right now that we don't hear the exclamation. We don't hear the come. We don't hear it. Because we're too tied up in what we're involved in, whatever that is. Whatever yoke it is that you have on, it is not this yoke. And you can't hear it. You've allowed it. You think, I can control it. Guess what? You cannot control things. You just cannot. Will not, never will. Then he says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. Gentle and humble. I love that. My yoke is comfortable. My burden is light. Let's talk about yoke. Because yoke, and for those of you that don't know, in a farmer's term, a yoke is put on cows, horses, ox, I don't know, those big animals like that. And it's used to harness their power. It's put around, it's like big and bulky and heavy and chains. And I mean, it is not a comfortable piece of machinery. And it's used to harness their power to plow a field. It is not a comfortable thing if you've ever seen one. But what does he say about his yoke? It's comfortable. My burden is light. Because if it was the big, heavy contraption that I just told you about, would we want to take it on? Absolutely not. We wouldn't want to have that. Nobody would be willing to do that. He wants it to be comfortable, and he wants it to be light so that we'll put it on, humble ourselves in a state to be able to learn how to be compassionate. That's the key. That's why his yoke is comfortable and light. Because when we put it on, we're putting ourselves in a position to be taught, to learn. And it's a comfortable setting for us to be able to learn. Our next passage that we're going to talk about, I really feel is the meat of what compassion is. Matthew 9:36. Seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion is defined as the feeling that arises when you're confronted with another's suffering and you feel motivated to relieve that suffering. Let me read that again. It's when you're confronted with someone else's suffering. You see their pain, you see their suffering, you see their agony that they're currently in. And it's when you feel motivated to do something about that. Compassion takes courage. Dylan had courage. Do you think a six-year-old thought he was going to write a book and sell $1.4 million worth of material? Absolutely not. He had courage. He wanted to do something for his friend. He saw his friend suffering, not being able to hang out and do the things that he wanted to do. And he did something about it. He didn't just sit in the muck with him. He did something about it to help to alleviate that pain and suffering. That's what compassion is. When you're willing to get into the dirt and do something to help to relieve it. Not just sit in there and just be and sit in the muck. Misery loves company. You ever heard that expression? It has nothing to do with that. It's when you want to change something. It's more than just feeling bad for somebody. It's wanting to change that for somebody. I'm a therapist, and I sit all the time with students, and gosh, I've been doing therapy for 17 years. And my job is to help change something so that way they don't stay in the muck. It's my job, and I love that. Have you ever been so connected with somebody that you agonize with them? We recently had an event on campus, or you know what I'm talking about. There was a lot of agonizing that we shared with one another. Compassion takes courage. And so many times we're like, I don't like it when they cry. That makes me feel awkward. Suck it up, buttercup. Well, I don't want to be around them because whenever they cry, I'm a sympathetic crier too. And suck it up, buttercup. Shed a couple tears. I've sat across from people before whenever they've started crying. And man, it rips my heart out. For those of you that are parents in here, and those of you that will one day be parents, you'll understand this, a lot of you kids. I don't think there's any worse than holding your weeping, sobbing child and not being able to do anything to help them, feeling powerless. And if you can, you will move heaven and earth to make them feel better. You'll just do it. Compassion takes courage. We don't like it when people are downcast and sad, so it's different. It's easier to be around people who are joyous and happy all the time. But we're an army. And when one is down, we're weaker. We need to bring that one back up into the ranks. So we need to have the courage to go in there, give them that compassion, and bring them back into the fold. Last part of that is like a sheep without a shepherd. When sheep don't have shepherds, according to John 10, they're super susceptible to enemies, and guess what else? Themselves. I just had a student that I was talking to this week, and they referred to sheep and how stupid sheep were, and I laughed because I had already started this, and how sheep are just stupid and they get themselves into a lot of issues because they just don't have a clue. We're susceptible to hurting ourselves. Sheep without a shepherd, put on the yoke. Put on that yoke. He didn't want to see them hurting. And when he saw them hurting, I'm sure a little bit of him was just like, you know what? I'm going to have compassion for them because it hurts my heart too. I'm not just doing it for them. I wonder just if Jesus thought, you know, I could easily do this and make myself feel better too. It hurts me to see my children hurting. So I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to do what I have to do. And I know some of you are like, oh man, I would do anything for my friends. I would, you probably relate very well with the great theologian Bruno Mars, who made the song, and you can help me out here if you don't know. What does he say? I'd catch a grenade for you. I'd throw my hand on a, I didn't say sing it, no, come on. I'd jump in front of a, I know I'd do anything for you. I would go through all this pain, take a bullet right through them. Yes, I would die for you, baby. But you won't do the same. But you won't do the same. All this physicality stuff that he's willing to do, but they won't do the same. Obviously, it's in a different context in Scripture, and I get that. However, just I'm going with it because he's a great theologian, and I like that song also. However, anyway, but it's all physical. Maybe if he would have had that compassion to be able to go in there and do something different and to change something, because physical hurts for a brief moment. I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, I would much rather take a spanking than getting grounded. Oh, please, Mom, just spank me and let it get over with, because then it hurts for like 10 minutes and then I'm over it. Being grounded for 2 weeks, oh, that was killer. That was killer. Because it's quick, it's easy, and it's over. Compassion takes courage. And it hurts. It gives you that pit, that empty pit in the bottom of your gut. It takes its physical toll on you sometimes. Compassion takes courage to be able to be willing to feel all the pain and then do something to help them. Emotional pain can last for years. Physical pain only lasts for a brief moment. Let's go ahead and kind of look through the whole chapter of Matthew 9 and all these people that he had compassion on that he continued to heal. We have verse 2 where he healed the paralytic. But first, he didn't just heal him and make it better. He first questioned his faith. He first asked about the spirituality before he had the compassion. Do you believe I can do this? The next one is the official's dead daughter. Obviously, you couldn't ask her about her spirituality, but regardless. And then verse 20, we've got the 12-year bleeding woman. I love this one because she puts herself in a position to act out her faith. She didn't stay on the sidelines. She put herself in the position. So here's where the other side of this coin drops. It's easy to give the compassion, but can you ask for it? Do you have the humility to say, I am struggling and I need somebody? She struggled for 12 years and knew what she needed, and she put herself into the position to act her faith. Because sometimes you want somebody to come in and you want them to have that compassion for you, but you don't put yourself into a position to receive it. It goes both ways. And I get you have to protect yourself and not constantly pour out until you're completely empty. It's not what I'm telling you to do. But the yoke is comfortable and light. You don't do it on your own. The next one is the two blind men. And the next one, 32, the demon-possessed man. I mean, right there, that's just chapter 9. Just chapter 9. That's it. There are over 21 verses throughout Scripture that talk about Jesus' compassion. Compassion takes courage. It's climbing into that dark hole. I think of it like rock climbing. You put your harness on and you go down, but you keep that safety line up so that you can get back out and do something about it. But are you willing to climb in that dark hole? Will you climb in the dark hole for somebody? You don't always even have to talk or do anything. You ever been with somebody where your hearts just connect? You don't say anything. You don't do anything. You just sit quietly. And I believe that God just connects your hearts. Nothing has to be said. And you sit in that silence. And there's healing in that. We hide our hurt. And we allow the negative self-talk to come in and tell us, you don't deserve it. Nobody loves you. But boy, when somebody has that courage to come in, Satan hates it because we're spreading that light in there. And he's like, oh, no, 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 no. Don't like this at all. And so, boy, he digs even harder onto you. So stop with the negative self-talk. You do deserve it. Compassion takes courage. Compassion is a selfless act of an outward action to show others our love. Let me say that again. It's a selfless act of an outward action to show others our love. Can you love someone big enough, hard enough, unconditionally, wholeheartedly, to be compassionate? Can you be the one that makes a difference in someone else's dark time? Will you climb into the dark hole and spend time in there with someone else? Jesus did. What are you willing to do to stop someone else's hurt? Can others say you have a bleeding heart? You want that insult? I do. How much courage do you have? Because compassion takes courage. Are you up for that task? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for your compassion, for loving us when we don't deserve to be loved, for giving us the things we don't deserve as well. Father, thank you for putting others into our life to help us to be able to walk through this. Thank you for giving us the yoke that we don't walk through it alone. Thank you for your compassion to die on a cross for us. Thank you for just loving us, wanting what's best for us, and staying in our dark hole with us. It's for surrounding us with people that are willing to help to pull us out. Father, thank you for being such a great, humble teacher. Help us to be more compassionate and to have that courage to be compassionate. In Jesus' name, amen.